This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. Very, very excited for this one. This one is all to do with money. Exactly how to spend your profits. Now, this might not be this might not be where your business is at today, but at some point, hopefully in the future, if you listen to enough of this show, you will find a way to make money. And then there's always the question of what to do with what happens when you make the money and how to be strategic with it, how to be smart with it, especially when you start off, you know, no one's fucking rolling in cash in the gym game in their first or second year, despite what the Instagram tells you. Unless, of course, they're washing drug money through the gym, which happens. But let's say it's all legit, then you've got to be strategic with the little amount of money you make, because if you invest it poorly and it goes to waste, then it's really hard to grow. Now, once you obviously, there's like a tipping point with money. You know, you've probably heard the saying, money makes money. If you can find that, if you can get to that tipping point and be smart with it, then things become a lot easier because you've ingrained a lot of good habits. Just like training well and eating well, you know, it's all habit-based stuff. So if you have good habits with your money, then you're going to, you know, have success in the future with your business. Now, before we jump into the ways to spend your profits wisely and how not to spend them as well, obviously, you guys, part of what we've learned along the way in our journey has been through mentoring, unofficial mentoring and official paid mentoring. Even though Sean has become more of a friend over time, the founder of MPE, definitely has guided us a lot with our business systems, even before we established more of a personal relationship with him. And that was just because he has great coaches. He has, you know, an experience with working with over 14,000 gyms across the world, all through Asia, Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, gyms everywhere, and also working with some of the biggest gyms. So you've probably heard of, you know, Gold's Gym, OPEX, Precision Nutrition. These are all massive companies that have sought consulting from MPE. So they know what they're doing, right? So companies that are turning over hundreds of millions of dollars seek these guys' help. So every time they give you advice, anytime they set up a system with you, it's not just something they've made up or they've tried on 10, 15 gyms or some broke gym owner who decided to offer business coaching and run a Facebook ad and you bought it. No, it's like a legitimate business. It's like a really big company. Well, the Inc. 500 fastest growing companies a few years ago. So they know exactly what they're doing. If you guys are ready for business mentoring, they have price points to suit every size business. So it's not just like one ridiculous flat fee you can't afford. They actually have tiered pricing.
That is so true for business coaching.
It is.
We have one price. It's well out of your budget. We recommend you go for it.
If you don't, you're not good enough and you won't make the money back. So what you need is you need just like smart pricing. You just need like good, legitimate, well-run companies in business consulting. And NPE is your solution in the fitness industry, 100%. We've done it for 3 years. Everything they do, everyone that joins the program does well. As long as you're there and you show up and you put the work in, you show up to the calls and you do what they say, you can't not be successful here. Like it's pretty damn good. So to join it, there is a link in the description of this episode. They have a 90-day kickstart program, so you don't have to commit to a long contract. Just a 90-day program, and you'll have everything that keeps you up to speed there. So you can apply for that now. The link is in the description of this episode. It's definitely worth doing. It's only 90 days, and it will completely turn your business around.
Yeah, okay. If you don't care about this episode because you have no profits, then I would just stop listening and use the ad at the start.
Yeah, this is the end of the episode for you. Okay, so before we jump into the ways that you can spend your profits wisely and not spend them well, we'll go over why you should and shouldn't leave profits and just some things to think about how it works with the tax department and getting loans and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one and people often give you some pretty average advice in it. And it obviously depends on the country you're in. I don't know how the taxes work, but often people say, hey, you know, if you have money left over, you might call it profit for shorthand, but it's not profit yet. It's just like money left over, right? In the bank account, they're like, hey, you should like spend it before the end of the tax year. And the reason for that is that way you don't get the company tax rate, which in Australia is like 27.5%. Instead, you can just like spend it and buy equipment straight away, right? And you don't pay any tax, which can be like pretty good advice and definitely we've done before and tons of people do it. That's why they buy stuff before the end of the financial year and equipment. Yep. I think one thing to keep in mind is that there are a lot of consequences for that. I think one huge consequence is it just allows you to kind of bullshit yourself out of not making any money. You know, you're like 5 years in and all of a sudden you realize you've never had a year with profit. And the reason is because you kind of sold yourself this bullshit. Ah, well, I'm like, you know, reinvested and I bought this stuff. It's like, no, sometimes you have to actually make money.
Yeah.
And you look at like big companies out there, they're not like, oh, we made no money again because we bought some equipment. They're like, no, they just make money.
Yeah.
And they fucking still buy the equipment.
Yeah. And they pay their taxes.
Yeah.
And they
just... So there's some bullshit there. And I think often it's bullshit from just not great accountants.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, you know, this is a cool thing. I can tell you which is buy now and you'll save money. And they're trying to like show their expertise and, you know, just help you out as an accountant. But what they're missing is like, hey, you got into this to make money.
So yeah.
Actually make money this year.
Yeah.
And hopefully there's money even after you buy the equipment. A second reason why you might want to actually pay tax on it and have the profit is because there's consequences for it. So maybe later down the road, you want to sell your gym or you want to get a loan. The only thing they're going to look at is how much profit there was. And there's no like, oh, well, I spent it beforehand. They don't care how much profit was left at the end of the financial year.
Yeah.
So I would warn against trying to run that system for too long.
Yeah. I think it's like we're talking specifically about gyms here, really. I think that in other industries, you know, that sell businesses at different rates and stuff, you could make an argument for doing that. Now, I'll give you an example. You know, pre-COVID, a good friend of mine had an events company. And, you know, they'd put, you know, $1 million in the bank account. So all the, you know, a whole year's worth, or, you know, a few things could go wrong and they had everything covered.
Cool.
But from that point, his advice was do not make profit. Do not spend tax. Reinvest everything back into growth. And you want to be as grow as big and as fast as you can. And that way, when you do reach a kind of certain threshold, that's when you're going to sell. So his goal was completely different and his advice was different. So initially, save money, have enough for, you know, 3 months of expenses or whatever, 4 months of expenses, a few things to go wrong. Then what you need to do is invest all your profits, which are a lot, back into the growth of the company, get it to X amount of revenue, and then what you can do is sell out. Because you can go to the buyer and be like, okay, it's just a common practice in their industry.
Yeah.
Grow it to this big. We spent all the money on marketing. We've now, you know, own this percentage of the market. Now we can sell it for however much money. And of course, you're paying yourself a good salary along the way. So you've got a good lifestyle and that sort of stuff. But that is kind of, I guess, the other side of the coin in which maybe you would spend your profits or all the money you have left over for a very specific reason. But in this case of gyms, I think it's very wise to be putting aside money and profits and paying taxes.
Exactly. And actually getting some out of it. So that's ways you can look at it. I think for the rest of this episode, when we talk about it, we're just going to use the word profit for just like disposable income. And maybe, yeah, you spend it before it actually becomes profit. Maybe you take out as a dividend and you actually take out some of the profits. But we're just going to use the term as like, hey, this is just money that you don't have to pay anyone. And it's just left over.
Yeah. Now, just before we get into this first one here, I do want to warn, I remember the first time we sat down, this is when we had a previous business partner. We had our most profitable quarter ever. We made the mistake of celebrating a bit too soon when we go, okay, this is definitely our profits that we made. But we actually had some upcoming one-off costs that we weren't 100% sure how we'd go about executing them. And I guess we all got excited about the profits, spent some of the profits, committed to some things before the money had reached our bank account. And then by the time it got there, it was like, hey, we're actually not going to make as much as we thought. So I think that was a good lesson in just like, hey, be 100% that like, okay, we've taken out the tax. It's this much money. It's going to be in our bank accounts on this day. Like it's all the money's there. Nothing's going to go wrong. Just so it's like, you never want to just go, oh yeah, you know, I got an extra 10 grand coming in this month. And then it turns out to be like 3 or 4.
Exactly.
It's just like a disheartening, it just takes the wind out of your sails. You know, you just put your expectations in the wrong place. And that kind of goes for any life lesson. But I think just before you commit to the profits and you know exactly what it is, just like be 100% on it.
Well, what's interesting as well with a gym is that very often you'll find is that the revenue comes before the expenses. So you, as your like revenue starts increasing, you're like, this is epic. We're like making more money. What always happens is in, you know, maybe not exactly 1-to-1, but your expenses rise with it. And there's generally a delay.
Yeah.
You know, so you get more memberships, you've got some upfront memberships, amazing. Then over the next period, your salary costs start to go up.
Yeah.
Because you know, your staff working more, maybe more equipment's baking, you're putting on more classes, all this type of stuff. All of a sudden, your expenses have come with it, but there's almost always a delay.
Yep.
You know, so that is one thing I'd keep in mind. You may think, hey, we've like got heaps of extra money in the account, I've made extra profit. No, the expenses are coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so first thing that you can consider spending your money on as a gym is equipment. Now, I think that depending on which gym you are, this can be, you know, so if I take us, for example, we have all the equipment we need. We have a really nice structure of how the gym's set up. We know exactly how many people are in classes, exactly how much equipment they'll need, how well it's spaced out. So for us, everything is up to date. So in terms of equipment, spending money on equipment, the only thing we're going to spend now is to replace old equipment. Whereas I guess in our old model, because class sizes were uncapped, we were buying more equipment because classes were getting bigger.
We always thought more equipment would help. And you see this, you know, sometimes like some gyms have so much equipment and you can do that and it can be good. But I would keep in mind, equipment just makes more costs.
Yeah.
Because you buy the equipment and then it breaks as well. So it is an expensive investment. And I think sometimes it's like, yeah, you can just kid yourself, you know, ah, oh, just got more money, let's get some more equipment. Everyone's going to be stoked. And initially they are stoked, but you know, an extra rower doesn't bring anybody else in the door. You know, it just sits there and takes up more space in the gym. So I do think very often equipment can be a fun, easy way to keep doubling down and spending money at the gym.
Yeah.
Then sometimes you look back years later, you're like, man, I didn't take much money out of this business, but I got so much equipment.
Yeah.
And it's
and
not
it
worth
devalues very fast.
It's worth like nothing now.
Yeah, it devalues very fast. Yeah, I think there are definitely better things to spend your money on at a certain point. And I do think that a lot of the gym purchases for equipment are just because the owner wants that equipment.
Mm, big mistake.
Yeah, we've made that mistake before. We had a business partner that loved buying new equipment for whatever reason, just his own personal joy, and wasted a lot of money there. Mm. And so I think it's just, you know, you really have to think, is this the best of my customers or do I just want this Alico barbell because I want an Alico barbell? You know, and there's many ways to skin the cat when it comes to exercise. So just really consider when you make a significant investment if you really need it.
And equipment that doesn't really fit in, I actually think is you're better off not having it.
Yeah.
You know, you're almost often better off not taking a new piece of equipment that someone offers you for free if you can only have one and people are just going to notice that there's not enough of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're better off just like having the equipment that you right. really need and there's enough. You know, someone offers you some like epic glute ham machine that's like $6,000. You get it free. You put it in, it takes up heaps of space and there's only one. Everyone's like, oh, when are we going to get seven of these?
Yeah.
You're like, never. You know, so it could be the same with like one treadmill that you need, you know, because you like a treadmill. You know, maybe just buy it for home and don't put it in the gym and just remind people of what they don't have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that also listening to your clients, you know, one or two vocal clients that want some really cool equipment just to keep them happy is also not a good thing to do. I mean, I'm sure there's clients that get friendly with the owners and they go, man, how good would it be if we had Watson's dumbbells instead of these rubber hex heads? And you're like, have you been speaking to Mark Atobre? But yeah, you just don't always, I mean, they don't always know what's best for them and they also don't know what's best for the gym and the rest of the clients. So you just got to be careful with that. But yeah, there's definitely a time and place to invest in new equipment. I really think before you go and invest in new equipment is really consider your business model.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like, that's just the most important thing. Like, okay, how many people am I going to need to make this work? What's my class size? What's my spacing? What's my flow? That's something that a franchise does so well, right? They know exactly how much equipment they need. They buy it all at the start and then it's just like everything from here is not buy more. It's just replace whatever breaks because this is the perfect amount of equipment for how many clients we have. So that is obviously, you know, the beautiful algorithm of an Orange Theory or a Barry's Bootcamp or whatever.
Yeah, but they don't just buy random equipment because they saw a sale on.
Totally. Yeah.
they never do that.
Yeah. And independent gym owners make that mistake all the time because they don't know how much equipment they need because they don't know their business model that well. So that's really that. Okay. So next thing you can do with your money is save it.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, I think you want to break down, Raph, maybe there's obviously a point that you need to save money and there's also a point where, okay, now I've saved enough money. So how do you kind of figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to be different based on, I guess, like your risk profile. But normally they'll say, hey, somewhere between 3 and 6 months. Having less than 3 is not great because some shit like might happen, like a pandemic, and you really, really fucking need
but
it.
But it'll never happen.
Never happen again. You really, really need that 3 months of savings. And it might seem like a lot, 3 months savings. But I think, yeah, you found out in the pandemic, 3 months savings is not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lot. It definitely really supports you, but it can go really quickly.
Yeah, real quick.
So setting that goal is an awesome goal. When you achieve that, I think you'll feel awesome. Beyond 6 months, a lot of people will often say that's like a detriment to actually be keeping that much money because a huge reason is like, hey, that money's not doing anything. You know, it just in theory, it's just going down towards zero because of inflation. You're not really getting any return on it. If you can't think of anything better to do with the money, you've probably got another problem, right? There's something better you could do with that money, even if it's just take it out, you know, buy some shares or do something else with it in your personal life.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a better use of the money than just having it sit in the bank account and feel really good about it. So that's really the sweet spot for a gym. I couldn't imagine a gym that needs 2 years of business expenses. I think Bill Gates used to say he wanted 1 year of business expenses for Microsoft. Keep in mind that was like fucking...
like $1 billion.
It was well over $1 billion. It was so much cash. It's nuts. I can't remember if it was 6 months or 1 year. He always said that's what we wanted to get to. I think he actually never quite got there.
Yeah, I think Facebook has like $3 billion cash on
yeah,
it. It's not that much.
No, it's an...
I mean, it's a lot. But like, it's still Facebook.
Yeah, but I would... I think with a gym, I mean, you've seen close to the worst, I think, with a pandemic of what you need. You know, 2 years is just no point. Less than 3 months, you might be able to convince yourself that's all you can get by. And you might get by with that because nothing really bad happens. Awesome. But usually that's what they'll recommend.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think that's really the That's like the practical element of savings. And then the other element of savings, which I would just encourage people to think about, is the mindset around and your relationship with money. Now, if you haven't made much money before and you start seeing a big amount pile up in your bank account, it feels really good. Mm. It feels like a great achievement. But here's the thing. What I've noticed with people that start piling cash is an element of fear comes around, the fear of loss. Now, we know in psychology that the fear of loss is greater than the reward of gain. So someone, if they're more scared to lose their $100,000 in the bank account than they are to, so they'd rather hold on to it than they are to spend it and potentially have
make
the upside. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're more geared towards the fear of loss. So what I've seen is people pile up a good amount of cash, and then I'm like, okay, this is a point where you can use that money to work for you. You can spend on here, invest here, do this, do that. And they don't. They get fearful of losing that amount of money, and so they protect it and they hold on to it. At the end of the day, that money is, it may as well be, at some point, it may as well be nothing. It's not, the pile's not really growing that much, and you're kind of just making the same. And look, who am I to say what someone wants to do with their money? At the end of the day, they might just want to hold on to it and feel secure and safe and just live their life and, you know, just have this little pile of cash, and that's fine. But if you're ambitious and you want to keep growing and stuff, you need to have a mindset of not being afraid for that number to go down, because sometimes it's got to go down as you spend it to reinvest to go up again. So how I like to think about it is, you know, a famous line from Atomic Habits, James Clear, he says, "I'm far less concerned about your results and I'm far more concerned about your trajectory." Mm-hmm. And I see that with a lot of businesses that get to a certain point and they pile up a certain amount of cash, is their trajectory was going up. They were making money, they were putting money aside, they were growing. And then it reaches this certain threshold where they need to reinvest that money. And we'll talk about what they can invest in growth in a minute. But they need to take the mindset of like, okay, I've stockpiled cash, I've got expenses covered. Now I need to take all this new money and spend it and reinvest it. But instead, they get stuck in this mindset of stockpiling and protecting it and being safe. And growth stops. And so their trajectory starts to flatline or go down. So, but then there's someone that doesn't have much money in the bank account, but they're reinvesting it really well. They're being smart. They're on their growth trajectory. And they'll make whatever that person has in their bank account in 5 years in the first quarter of the year, because they're on a much steeper trajectory as well. So that's just something to consider. You've got to have the right mindset around what to do with your savings.
Yeah, and there is a shift, because I guess there's like three phases. There's the first phase where you have to make the money to pay for the bills, right? The first phase is like, hey, we've got tax, we've got this. Do we have to make this amount of money? Otherwise, you know, someone's going to get mad at us.
Yeah.
The next stage is like, I really want to make this much money, so we have this much money in the bank account.
Yeah.
So we get the 3 months. So I feel good. I look there and I can just not see zero. I can see, you know, X amount of dollars, which is 3 months. That's amazing. But then I guess, yeah, the point is, once you've got that 3 months or 6 months there, there's no real need to make any more money. Like, no one's going to be upset with you. You know, we just said you probably don't really need any more money in the bank account. So there's no urgency to make any more money. So it can be a point where you do flatline.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's really great reasons to keep going, and all the businesses that you look around and respect found another reason to keep making more money and putting more money away or reinvesting it. But you've got to find a different motivation for it at that point, and you've got to really overcome, the fear of loss of what you've achieved in those first two steps.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't lose that momentum. Okay, the next thing you can spend money on is salaries. Now, this can be your salary. You can obviously take the amount of money up that you pay yourself, which means that, you know, you could upgrade your lifestyle or you could buy a house or whatever you want to do with that money. That's completely up to you. Or what I would say is a more strategic thing to do is potentially increase the salaries of your best guys there. Obviously, make the incentives worth it. Don't just give them more cash for no reason. You know, they have to create more value for you to pay them more, or bring on someone new. You've got now room extra to spend on a new salary.
Exactly, and you just want to think, and that can be a huge one for a gym, because, you know, really what salaries do is they should make you more money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like a rower, almost guaranteed, right? No one sells you a rower like, hey, this rower will return you $10,000 the first 2 years you buy this rower, unless it's like a rower that spits out money. But a salary really should, you know, you should be like, okay, cool, this salary is like $30,000 for this part-time employee. I reckon this part-time employee is going to make me $60,000.
Yeah.
That's what a good coach does. You know, you pay them $50 to coach the class, but there's $150 in memberships coming in on that class. They coach, cool, the coach just made you $100. Well worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that might be hiring someone to do your social media and marketing stuff you like didn't really enjoy doing in the first place. If you can look at that and say, hey, if I know if someone did this, I would sign up more members in a year, and you'd probably be able to track that. Then that could be a really good investment, because A, you might be able to take away work you don't even enjoy, And then B, you make money for doing that process as well, because they do it better than you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, definitely something to consider. I mean, when we, bought out a business partner, that obviously freed up some cash, and it was, you know, it could be easy for us to go, okay, we'll just take that other salary and just divide it up amongst us and just pay ourselves more. It is very tempting. You know, that's the first thing you think about. It's like, oh, rather than 3 director salaries coming out, now it's going to be 2. Now we can, you know, 1.5 times our pay. But instead, what we did is we reinvested it in a new staff member, some area of the business that we felt like wasn't that strong and really needed someone to just kind of take control of that. And it completely changed our business. We've grown, man, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 times on the podcast, and heaps more in the gyms, and just the output. And yeah, it was just the best thing we did. So sometimes you got to look beyond yourself and think, okay, where could I hire here that could make a big difference? Cool. So next thing to consider, and this is something that we haven't had any experience with, but we do know other people through the MPE coaching program that have walked this line, and obviously heaps of people through our network we know have done this as well, and that's to invest in an asset like property. So this would obviously be, for a lot of people, their commercial tenancy, so the place they're in at the moment. So they would purchase the property, therefore they wouldn't have to stress about the lease anymore. Obviously, you got mortgage repayments, but it means that you obviously have the long-term security of your business. And obviously, it's a commercial asset. So you could sell the business within it. Maybe that next person, or you could just shut the business down, whatever you want to do with it, move it to another premise, who knows. But you still have that asset. So that asset, obviously, if you've picked it in a good area, it's increasing in its total value if you were ever to sell it. Sometimes places come along, developers, they knock the building down, they pay you a bunch of cash to redevelop something on top of it. Or you just get a new tenant in there and they pay you more money and you just have another income stream. So the great part about property is that it doesn't matter who you are or how old you are, or, you know, it doesn't, you know, as a fitness trainer, for example, there's a certain limit and a certain personality type that is going to be good for that business. Mm. You're not really going to get PT off the 75-year-old guy. But the 75-year-old guy can have a massive property portfolio. No one cares how old he is. No one cares what he's done before or whatever. Property is just property. So that is why it has made the most millionaires out of any industry in the world, is because it doesn't really matter who you are. Like, there's no branding, there's no name to it or whatever. It's just, I own the property. If you want to go in, yes or no. It's a pretty simple business.
You'd probably add as well as, yeah, it's generally pretty stable as well. Yeah. You know, you might be having your gym and your gym might be going really well now. Because, you know, whatever the type of training you're doing is just really in vogue and it's really popular and your energy is really spot on. You put away the money and then maybe, yeah, instead of paying rent, you pay a mortgage down on because you chose to buy the business. You'd have to do the numbers yourself if that works out. And then 7 years later, instead of your gym just going poorly now because you don't have the energy or the market shifted more to at-home workouts, now you just have the property.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got something, and then you got something new that can give you an asset.
Yeah. It's really simple, right? It's just one customer and they pay you for that one.
Well, before COVID, they paid you.
Yeah. Now you're in deep shit. So yeah, that's one thing to consider as well. Okay, next thing you could spend your money on, and this, I guess, ties into the last point as well, is renovations. So upgrading the space you're in. Now, we've done this a fair bit with different properties that we've been in, and all on leases, which is obviously something that you really need to consider. If you're going to be upgrading the property of someone else, obviously you need their permission. But, you know, is it worth it to recoup the money? How long is your lease? And this is something we talked about in some other episodes, is if the lease isn't long enough to get your money back, it's not worth that investment. So that's the initial thing you've got to consider. If there's 2 years left on your lease and you're going to spend $50,000 upgrading the facility, I mean, just consider how long it takes to get that 50 grand back. Yeah. How much of a difference will it make?
And you might be getting tricked, you know, because often people talk about renovations. It adds value to your home. If you don't own the home, which is generally your gym, you're not adding value to anything.
Yeah. If you own the property, look, renovate it as much as you want. That's great. But yeah, if you're on the lease, which most people listening to this are, I'd say like 99% of people, is just be really careful with the level of renovations and how much money you spend, because you need to realize that you might not get it back. For us, at some point, it meant knocking down a wall and making the space bigger, which was helpful at the time. And I think, there was enough time on the lease and we've started recouping some of the money back. But if we were to do it again, maybe we'd restructure the business model instead, or maybe we'd invest that money in, you know, a different bathroom layout or something like that. So there's just so many ways you can do it. But really, the main thing to consider here with renovations is, how long is it going to take me to get this money back? What like extra value does it add? How can I make more money out of it? And how long's left on the lease? Because yeah, I've seen some friends spend a lot of money on renovations, and then literally did not build the structure and the service and the membership to make the money back on it. Mm. Literally all they did was just say, it's just, I guess we kind of made that mistake as well. It was just literally, okay, let's just hope that, you know, more members come in.
Yeah, well, this new thing. Well, I guess what we didn't probably take into account as much, which you can do, is you can say, okay, we can struggle to fit all the members in, and we're getting more, we're missing out on all these memberships. So let's make it bigger, right? Spend the money, make it bigger, which you can do and it can work. There's another option, which is cool. I'm just going to cap my sessions now. Mm. You know, I'm just going to make the best of what I've got. Yep. And that might, in the long run, be more profitable for you and more enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
There's no like, you know, anytime you grow, there's costs.
Yeah.
In associated, and it might not end up being more profitable for you to renovate. You might just be better off. Might be a different way to make money. Maybe like, I don't know, sell something else at the gym, extra service, do more off-peak hours. It might be better than renovating.
Yeah. Hey man, you never know. It could even be cheaper to move to another place than to renovate, you know? You never know what's out there. So renovations, definitely want something to consider. Okay, next thing to consider, which is, you know, pretty much what we were talking about before, which is investments. Now, this would be investments outside of the property game. And that would just literally be your business investing, I guess, in the stock market or like other businesses or other ways you can get investment. Maybe you're investing in other businesses in the similar industry, so maybe other gyms or whatever. But yeah, there are some you know, lots of other ways to consider spending your money. Now, this I think really comes down to like how much money you have. Like for example, I guess something that could be a good fit is, and I know this came up a while ago, but I'm not sure what's happened to this company, but you know, one gym doing extremely well. Had a lot of spare cash, and then some clients within the gym asked for investment into a business that related to, it was like client management software. Mm. They're related to that industry, and they're like, hey, we can test pilot at your gym. You just got to pay us some money, blah, blah, blah. So that's one way you could spend some extra cash is like, hey, someone comes up with a good business idea related in your industry. You kind of know the person, you think it could work out, and you can spend some money in that, maybe take a bit of equity in this new thing that could work out. Now, that particular thing didn't work out, but it's a good example of, you know, a client came up to me, wanted some extra cash and potentially had a really good business idea, and I trusted them, and you know, they have some business acumen and they've got a good track record. It may be something you can consider investing in, and kind of not be too involved, but just involved enough that, you know, it would make sense to invest.
Yeah, and a good one often is just like a complementary business. So often with a gym, one of the best assets you have is you have all these members.
Yep.
They come in and they trust you, and you take it. You know, the one way you would take advantage from that is you put on the service, you know, you make money at the gym. But there could be other ways. So a big one you could do is, I've seen other gym owners just like open a like a physio clinic, potentially in their gym or not in their gym. You know, it could just be down the road. They just rent out the space, they get maybe not even themselves, they hire somebody to work in there and treat clients. And that's an awesome one because you've already got the client base for it.
Yeah.
So that practice might be full immediately.
Yeah.
Or you get it half full immediately and then they start taking on clients, and then obviously you own it. So you get them to refer straight back to your gym, you know, and that's the rules you get. So that could be, you've got an unfair advantage over nearly anybody else that might be opening that sort of business, you know, in the one.
Yeah.
People have done that with like smoothie stores and, you know, kind of health food things right around the corner from the gym. But some sort of really complementary business like that, that you have an unfair advantage in because of what you've done with the gym, could be a really cool way to do an investment.
Yeah. The key thing here with the investment though is that you're not involved in any of the operations or any of the decision making. You just pay some of the cash to get it to work and you have kind of a referral deal set up or a way to make it work, but you shouldn't be then like running two businesses.
No.
Yeah, that's a poor investment. Okay. Last thing to consider, and probably I think the best way that you can spend your money, and something that we always... this is pretty much where we put all our money into, is growth. And growth can come for gyms in the form of a new location. That's probably the first thing, which we have done in the past. One thing we didn't do for a long time was spend a lot of money on marketing. Now we have a marketing budget. We spend quite a bit on marketing. It's definitely something, you know, I kind of think about our marketing costs and our budgets and how we're spending it, and it takes up a lot of my time. And it's funny because when we started the gym, it's like we had zero marketing budget. And people used to say, you've got to have a marketing budget. I would laugh at them and go, why would we need a marketing budget? We've got people coming into the gym. We don't need to market. Marketing budget is one of the most important things. In fact, that is pretty much what most companies spend their money on. They spend the majority of their money on, especially like tech companies. They spend like 95% of their money on marketing. Marketing definitely, because marketing can lead to growth, right? That's why it's so important to spend money on it. And then the last thing is you could be spending your money on starting a new business. And that could be related to what you're doing now. It could be to sell or move on from whatever you're doing, or like you said, make a complementary business. So many different ways to do it, but definitely you want to be spending, how we like to spend our money is on growing the business.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why a successful gym will so quickly get ahead of the unsuccessful gym. You know, because you have a gym that maybe just doesn't make much profit at the end, then you have like no money to really spend on your marketing and acquire new clients at the gym or new clients that can potentially spend more money at the gym. Whereas the gym down the road maybe just does a little bit better than you or structures things a little bit better, so they make a little bit more profit. They can take that and they can spend it more on marketing.
Yeah.
That gets them even more profit. Yeah. Now they're spending even more. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 years later, they're spending 20 grand a month getting new clients and you're still spending zero.
Yeah.
You know, and the gym is doing so much better than your gym. And that's how like a small difference in profits early on can lead to a huge difference in profits down the road.
Yeah.
Because really the profits beget more profits when you spend it on marketing.
Yeah.
So that can be a huge reason to really motivate yourself to actually make money, that you can free money that, you know, you don't need to put anywhere, that you can spend on marketing now and see where you can get a return, because in the long run, that's how you're going to make even more of it.
Yeah, and this is really what I talked about at the start, which is the person with the mindset of saving that really needs to move out of the saving mindset phase and into the growth phase, and someone who doesn't. It's the trajectory, right? So say both businesses are doing $10,000 profit, right? And that other person is just putting all the profit into their bank account. They're paying the tax and they're putting it into their bank account, and they're stockpiling their cash. And at some point, business A and business B have the same amount of cash because they've both been doing that. And then business B chooses, okay, we've got enough cash. Let's spend all this money now on growth, on marketing. The other person goes, oh, this is really good. This is, you know, this is $8,000 in the bank account every week. So they just keep putting $8,000 in, $8,000. But they're not spending any money on growth. And so the max amount of money they can put into their account is $8,000 a month. So let's say that's 100 grand in a year, right? Whereas business B is now spending all their money on growth, right? So they're not making any money right now because they're really focused on, they've got the money put aside, but now they're focused on growth. So they're spending it. So they don't make really any profits for say 6 months. But now they've grown the business so much that they go, okay, let's pull back their spending on growth a little bit. Let's pull it to half. But half of what they're making now is $25,000. They're going to surpass in a year the total savings of business A because they've made that pie so much bigger because they've spent it on growth. And that is really where the mindset of growth needs to come in as a business owner. Like I said, it's up to you. You can be happy with your $8,000 a month going into the bank account. Maybe that's enough for some people. Who am I to say that that's not how you want to live your life? But I know for me, if you're ambitious, if you get into business because you want to grow, you need to be reinvesting that money at a certain point in marketing, in potentially opening up a new location, in potentially making a complementary business that helps to support what you're doing now. These are things that, you know, I think if you keep your appetite for growth large and you potentially as you grow as well, you need to get used to the level of risk you're taking because you start spending more money on marketing. I mean, the amount of money we spend on marketing now is quite significant, but I know it's nothing compared to what some other people spend on marketing. So it's just one of those things where when you're in this game, you just need to be hungry, stay ambitious, and then just obviously not be afraid to keep spending bigger and bigger amounts of money to make more money as it comes back in.
Yeah, and I would also keep in mind that just the way life is with businesses, if you make a profit now, in general, the market is slowly chipping away at it. If you don't upgrade anything or do anything better, what usually happens is that amount of profit you make gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, competition just ekes out the profit. Whenever there's like a really profitable industry, then you see everyone doing it. So I don't know, like selling weed became really profitable, right?
Yeah.
In America, all of a sudden there's lots of people selling weed. Obviously the profit's going to go down.
Yeah.
Because this gets more competitive, more people are doing it, and it gets a bit harder.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens. So maybe your gym does pretty good now, but if you don't keep working on the future, that all of a sudden just gets eaten away. And now you're in trouble because you got no profits to spend on marketing. So you're in a hard spot.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen as well. And the problem is when people try to come out of that savings mindset and into growth and they get burned a little bit, because here's the thing, right? We talk about growth, like every dollar you spend is going to make you money back. You spend a lot of money to lose money to figure out, okay, that's not a good way to spend money. We spent a lot of money on marketing that didn't work.
Yeah, it flops.
Yeah, but that's just part of the game. You have to be prepared to lose money. And you know, all you have to do is be around other really successful business owners and they just tell you the stories of that time they lost $500,000 on a marketing campaign. They lost $1 million on this investment here that wasn't any good. And that's just how you have to, that's just part of the game you have to play. The problem is if you get into that savings mindset for too long, you're too scared to lose. And so you try to go into the growth game, you spend a little bit of money, you get burnt, you lose it, and then you just tap out, you go back to savings. And then like Raf said, those profits eventually slow down over time because the market is kind of getting too big, it's overwhelming you, your slice of the market is getting smaller and smaller, which is why I love growth so much, is because it's the mindset of trying to stay ahead, trying to be innovative. It's trying to find what other people aren't doing. And I think it's the best way to win in business.
Awesome. That was cool. A good episode.
Awesome. Okay, so we'll just go over it one more time. 7 ways that you can spend your money on: equipment, savings, salaries, property assets, renovations, investments, and then the last one is growth. So hopefully that was helpful, guys. If you liked that episode, please take a screenshot of this, share it, tag us. The business episode, I know, helps you guys out a lot. But if you want extra help outside of the advice that we just gave, then you get advice off MPA Business Coaching. So they do a 90-day kickstart package for anyone that doesn't want to commit long-term. Could not recommend them enough. Remember, they've worked with Precision Nutrition, Gold's Gym, OPEX. These are businesses that turn over hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, they're spending millions of dollars a month on equipment, on new staff, on salaries. So big, big players, big fish. And this is, I think, really the company you want to be a part of if you want to grow your business or grow it all. And they can help you like shift those mindsets. If you're stuck in a savings mindset, if you don't know what to do with your money, they give awesome advice. They really help out. So NPA Business Coaching, NPA Fitness Business Coaching, I should say. But the link to that 90-day program is in the description of this episode. So make sure you guys check it out. And we look forward to seeing anyone that's in that program on the calls. All right, thanks, guys. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.